Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I like to begin every show with a devotion because I will be the first to say I would not be talking to you today without God's grace and His providence in this ministry. And today, the title of our worship is Toot Your Own Horn. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Proverbs 27:2. Tooting one's own horn, better known as bragging, is not so much an art as a vice. Braggadocios. Offenders are everywhere, in Christmas letters, on social media, in politics, in Hollywood, on bumper stickers, on playing fields, at weddings, funerals, get-togethers, even in our own families. Some people rave on and on about who they are, their own accomplishments, how good they are at their jobs, their honors and awards, their academic excellence starting from kindergarten, or even how fantastic they imagine they look physically. Other people brag about what they have, their trophy wife, perfect children, designer clothing and accessories, finances, home, automobiles, boats, or their expensive trips and vacations. And some are super stealthy about saying the way that they believe they are. The Apostle Paul said we shouldn't brag about ourselves, but about Christ. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Galatians 6:14. In our faith check, a fool tells you what he will do, and a boaster will tell you what he has done. But a wise man does it and says nothing. So our little saying for the day is on like a piece of white or off-white panel board. It says, when you're bragging, you're dragging. So we can think on that for a moment. When you are bragging, you're dragging. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings, the sustaining power in our lives. We thank you that you're coming again soon. We look forward to that. When all this suffering will be over with, we'll get to see you, Jesus. We'll see the nail scars in your hands, and we will have in our reward. You said you're bringing your reward with us, and your reward is so much more than just a crown on our head, but it's the reward of being reunited with our loved ones who have passed before us. It's the reward of no more suffering or sorrow. We thank you for that, that you found a way of liberating us from this sin-occupied world, and we just praise you for that today. We hold up to you a family that is really suffering hard financial difficulties. And Lord, I have seen your miracles so many times in my own life. I know that you can provide for them in a miraculous way. And I thank you for that. And I pray for another family that has a farm and they're having a hard time taking care of their animals, getting a vet out to take care of things. Just be with them. And I pray for our leaders of our country, and I pray for the churches that are working hard to still minister to their congregations. And I ask that you be with us, Lord. May our faith burn bright, and may we all be ready for you to come. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name, amen. Ta-da! It's arts and crafts. And arts and crafts are probably one of the most important things you can do. You can connect it and integrate it with a lot of subjects. And today we're going to talk about leaf rubbing. If you will remember as a child, maybe the first time you did a rubbing, maybe it was a coin and you just took the lead of a pencil and you rubbed over, put that paper over that coin and rubbed. And it was so magic to see the imprint of that coin appear. And that's the same way it is with leaf rubbing. I mean, it's not unlike the lessons we've been talking about with fractals. So for your younger children, you might do leaf rubbing while the older students are actually studying fractals and learning how to generate them on the computer. I put some interesting links there on my Pinterest site so that you can go there and help them connect. They probably will help you. Anything that's technology, they usually help us more than we help them, but help your older students connect with generating fractals on the computer. But the younger students can go outside with a piece of light white paper, something that would be in a printer or copy machine, and some crayons, and they just need to find a hard surface, put the leaf down first. And this also gives you an opportunity to help them learn about poison ivy or poison oak or poison sumac. So help them learn which leaves are appropriate to pick, put it on the hard surface, put the paper over it, and then start with their crayon, just lightly going over it, but hard enough so the magic of that leaf appears. And there's some pictures there you can show them. You can go to my Pinterest site, MRGamblin2, or you, and I have it in my Forest Classroom. Really big on Forest Classroom because I think the forest is God's first book to us. So when we're out there, we are connecting with God. So our arts and crafts project is leaf rubbing. I know your older students would like to do it too because there's some beautiful, beautiful pictures that students have done with just using the leaves and letting the color go over each other. You can also do this with pastel chalk. I haven't tried it with sidewalk chalk, but you could certainly try it. And that concludes arts and crafts. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We're going to talk about the subject of spelling. Now, if you're like me, I was a poor speller all of my life. I took spelling tests and routinely failed them or barely made it through. And I learned that for me, I really needed to write those words 3 times and sometimes 7 times. And even then, if I was quickly spelling, I didn't have it in my associative part of my brain. I had to actually think about it. So it was still in the cognitive part of my brain. So I understand the angst of spelling. That being said, there are so many fun ways to spell. And I discovered that if I put the list in something like Quizlet, which is just the neatest software, that my students exponentially improved their spelling words. So I would give them a choice. You want to do this, you know, writing your words 3 times, or do you want to work on Quizlet? And there would be some that would like to write their words 3 times. And when you write your words 3 times, it's what we call sneak a peek. You're not just writing them. You write them 1 time and then you cover them. And then you just sneak a peek and you then cover it back up and you try to write the word again, saying it to yourself. For example, the word here. Please come here, Joe. So I look at the word, then I cover it up and I say here and I try to write it myself. And then I go to the next word. So I'm giving myself a spelling test. And this is a great introduction to any week's work. And once you decide on what you're going to do, do it the same way. This is one subject that mom or dad, who's ever doing the teaching, should be able to step away and take a break because you have a routine built up on spelling. They're going to do sneak a peek one day, they're going to write their words in a sentence the next day. But in addition, it's nice if you have a spelling contract. So you would be using technology like Quizlet. There's other like Spelling City. There's other things out there that you might have to pay for. But Quizlet is free and you can generate your own spelling list. You can even have one of the older children generate it. Once you set up an account, it doesn't cost anything. Once you set up an account, then you can look for other people's spelling lists and use theirs. So you don't have to do much work at that point. Whatever the case may be, it's an easy subject to integrate some fun things, but they're a routine. It always happens. Okay, on Monday, we do sneak a peek. On Tuesday, we write each word using it correctly in a sentence. On Wednesday, we do Quizlet. On Thursday, we have our trial test. And if we can do our spelling test, some say 100%, then they don't have to take the actual test on Friday. But the trial test is really huge because if they pass the trial test, and it can be by 80%, whatever criteria you want, they pass it, then they don't have to do spelling on Friday. If they don't pass it, then you have, you know, either write your words three times each, or maybe the words that they miss, they write three times each correctly and also write them correctly in the sentence. So it's enough to incentivize that they pass that Thursday spelling test. And that's your spelling curriculum. I also put on my Pinterest page spelling lists, or where you can go, links to go and get spelling lists for every grade. You don't need to buy curriculum for spelling. There's standardized spelling lists that students in each grade should have. But if you want to, I love to integrate my vocabulary from my reading as part of the spelling. And so I have to create my own lists for that. But you don't have to. And so spelling is just, it's great discipline. It helps the students actually look at words and the parts that put them together. It enriches their vocabulary. So it's a great subject all on its own, and it shouldn't be overlooked. So to conclude, go to my Pinterest site, mrgamblin2. I have a board there called Spelling. There's a whole bunch of ideas in there. There's the links to Quizlet, and there's links to the spelling list, I think, up through the 12th grade. So that concludes our curriculum corner. So the second half of our show today, we're going to interview Dr. Gregory Jance, and he wrote this book. He's written many books, but the book I'm talking about is Healing Depression for Life, because I run into it so much as a teacher and as a homeschool advocate. You know, parents get depressed. They feel like they're not doing a good job, or maybe they are struggling with depression that has some really deep-seated seeds that they don't even know why they're depressed. So we're going to talk about that today, and we'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Thank you for coming back. I'm talking with Dr. Greg Jance. He's a certified eating disorder specialist, certified chemical dependency counselor, a nationally certified psychologist, a licensed mental health counselor, the author of 39 books, of which we're only talking about one book. Dr. Jance is the founder of the Center, A Place of Hope, listed as one of the top 10 facilities for treatment of depression in the United States. He brings a message of hope and healing to audiences through seminars, conferences, and the media. And he's here with us today, and you can go to the website, aplaceofhope.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Jance, for being with us.
Yes, this is a very important topic.
It is, and I'm thinking right now of students. I have high school students, and they suffer depression. Is it something that's just transient? It's going to go away with age, or should I be worried?
Well, you know, we are seeing an increase in the numbers of depression. I'm going to add anxiety for our school-age kids. We're particularly concerned about the ages about 12 to 17 is a significant age group where we're seeing more addiction. We're seeing more anxiety. We know in that age group, depending on the month, that the number one cause of death is suicide. So suicide in that age group, 12 to 17, it's either the first or second cause of death. And that's really kind of even just difficult to say and to even think about. So that's despair. So we've got young people with apathy towards their future, and depression is significant for some.
Now, do you think that really maybe the underlying cause for eating disorders, addiction, do you think it's depression that's the underlying cause?
Well, I think it can be one of the significant factors. We've got to factor in things, too, like the digital world and social media. We know that, you know, our kids with social media and the intensity of what's going on, you know, the comparisons online, cyber bully behavior. So we're living in a different age where there's digital influence that can be destructive.
Yeah, so let's say a child is getting bullied online, but they haven't shared that with anybody. And then they also, to kind of soothe themselves, maybe they also either bully someone else, or maybe they just like to watch little video clips. You know, maybe they vicariously live through people banging on things or beating up things or whatever. So does it become like a self-fulfilling prophecy or a cyclic thing where the online thing is causing you to feel depressed, and then in order to self-medicate, you're doing things online?
And it can be escapism behavior. I'm escaping online just to...
Because I have students say, please, I need my digital device, because we don't let them have it during the school day.
Right.
Please, I need it to soothe and calm my mind. That's what I've heard on a regular basis, and I say no, but, you know,
We need to learn other ways to soothe and calm our mind.
Yes.
And typically a digital device is not the way to do that.
So what do you recommend for a teenager? What are some other things? I mean, right now I'm just saying no. You know, just say no. But I would like to say, well, how about, you know, if you really need to soothe your mind, how about you do this for a few minutes? I can use the term, you know, why don't you reset yourself by going here and doing this?
I like that term, reset. And I think we can reset. I also know that boy brains and girl brains are different. Boy's brain may need to be reset more frequently, you know, and boys and girls learn differently, for example. And so we need to remember that, you know, and some of the work that we're doing with our youth, we're finding that, you know, and this is your area of expertise, but 90% of the D's and F's are going to our boys. And so when we start to look at that and the academic failure for boys, so boys are suffering from depression at maybe even higher rates, because maybe academically they're not being successful, and we need to figure out, how do we help our boys be successful?
Yes, I know there is a big difference. I mean, I've done professional development where we look at how to teach the male mind versus the female mind. But do you have any statistics that there is more depression among the males than there are the females?
Well, they deal with it different. Maybe the depression numbers, the boys are going to be acting out more often than the females. So they're going to deal with it differently.
I just don't know which comes first, because in my experience with, you know, I'm very close to my students, I'm seeing that when my boys are in a mood or suffering a depression, severe, you know, almost clinical depression. I mean, their parents say it's clinical depression. I'm assuming they got diagnosed properly. Anyway, then they don't have any energy to even try at their schoolwork. They don't care about their schoolwork. They'll sit in class because they're made to, but they won't do any work. They'll just sit there,
Yeah, they may have some apathy. They may have the belief, I can't do this. Maybe they're depressed because they feel like they've already failed. And so you begin to see a very low initiative to do anything. And so we need to, what is that young man, what do they believe about themselves? And maybe they've had a whole pattern of failures and they are depressed. So how do we reach them? Right.
Yeah, so the depression could be causing the low grades.
Sure.
Or the low grades could be causing the depression. That's where a homeschooling mom needs to look at
things. That's right.
Because now she's the teacher. She might not have been, you know, even realized that, hey, some of the reasons why her child is not functioning academically is because they're suffering from depression.
Correct.
And the same thing goes with, you know, eating disorders. Is the depression causing the eating disorder, or did the eating disorder, because you have something in here in your book about food.
Right. And we need to look at what's the role of nutrition in a person's life. We know that depressed people usually like sweet and smooth foods. What's that? Well, that's ice cream. Or, you know,
yeah.
If you're depressed, you'll tend to go towards the sweets more often. Is that helping your depression? No, it's not. But that's a natural thing to do.
Well, that kind of makes me feel good now, because I don't always want sweets and smooth foods, but there's sometimes that I really want sweet and smooth foods. I mean, I can see now that maybe, you know, maybe at every age there's different challenges. As I get older, I might be depressed because I'm getting older and I can't do all the things I used to do. And I notice now whenever I go for my, I call a baby check, but, you know, my annual physical, they always run a little questionnaire to see if I'm depressed or not.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And they didn't used to do that.
Right, our primary care physicians are now covering that basis because it's such a problem.
So it's something that you can't see, but it impacts the whole quality of your life.
That's right. Part of what we're saying today, too, is that there is hope. There is good resources. And that's why, again, we did the book, Healing Depression for Life, because we need to get good information in people's hands who are suffering.
Yes, and I just want to share with my listeners that in the appendix, there's a self-assessment tool.
Oh, yes.
And there's a Leave No Stone Unturned. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Maybe you can tell me.
Well, when I say leave no stone unturned, maybe a person feels like, I've already tried everything. And then so we're listing things here that we really believe or could be potential helps and tools that maybe a person hasn't tried.
Yes. And then whole health matters, of course, your water, your sleep, your exercise.
Yes.
And then other resources, recommended resources. So it's a great, great tool, Healing Depression for Life. I've been interviewing Dr. Gregory Jantz, and he has shared with us so much great information. I'm sorry we have to end the show, because I just have enjoyed talking to you so much. But I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.